Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April the 1st, 2015, and you are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry, NABWIC is the charge, and we take the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call, text, or email family, friends, and business associates and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the Internet by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC, NABWIC, or please phone in at 714-459-3918. And press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. At this time, I would like to introduce our gracious host of the show, Ms. Jackie Perry. Hello, Jackie. How are you this morning?
Well, good morning. How are you, Ms. Rosa?
I am awesome this morning. I look forward to this show. Thank you.
Well, great. We are in store for a wonderful treat today. We're kicking off the month of April with our esteemed guest, Ms. Joanne Brooks, who's Vice President and Counsel for the Surety and Fidelity Association of America. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we are glad to have you. We know you've been doing a lot of traveling, and in fact, you're traveling today. So we certainly do appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us doing this live blog talk. I want to go ahead and let our listening audience know a little bit about you, and then we're going to start in on our interview, and we're going to hear Joanne share some more about her journey and also a topic that's very, I think, critical and I know will be of interest to those in our listening audience, especially those of us who are in the construction-related industry. So to start us off, Joanne Brooks was admitted to the bar in Maryland. She graduated from the American University with a BS in Urban Affairs and Administration of Justice in 1982 and the University of Maryland School of Law in 1985. She's employed by Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland, which became Zurich Insurance Company. Her journey there started out with her initially starting as a claims attorney in the salvage division, and from there she went to Senior Vice President and Chief Underwriting Officer of Zurich Surety. She joined Hanover Insurance Company as Chief Risk Officer in 2010, joined the Surety and Fidelity Association of America in 2013, and she was also admitted in the United States District Court for the District of Maryland. She's co-authored several publications for the American Bar Association and has given numerous presentations for many organizations, including other trade associations and panels. Joanne, it sounds like you've been very busy, and you have had an upward spiral in your career. So once again, we are just very privileged to have someone with your background and experience join us today.
Thank you.
And so my first question for you is actually, what sparked your interest in law? What were some of the pivotal steps that helped ensure your success in this particular career?
Okay, well, when I went to college, actually, I studied Administration of Justice and Urban Affairs, and honestly, I didn't know what to do with those two majors, so I said I'd need more schooling. So instead of finding a job, I went back to school and got a law degree. And honestly, my husband, I met my husband in law school, and we were married my last year of law school. And by the time I graduated and took the bar, I was pregnant. And so in January, I passed the bar in December. In January, I had my first child. And I was sitting at home, and my husband said, "You know what? I didn't marry you to sit at home and be a mom. I need you to be a lawyer." So we actually went out and found a job for me, and I started working for Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland. And honestly, it was a really rewarding experience. I loved my job at F&D, and I really became passionate about bonding and understanding what surety is really about. And so what really, I think, sparked my career was a default of a very large contractor. And I had been working in the salvage division, which is the collection area. And honestly, you know, it's sort of like the bottom. But I was tapped to handle this very large claim because of my experience in bankruptcy. And Morrison Knutson, at that time, which was a world-renowned construction company, went into bankruptcy. And so I was asked to handle that. And I think that's really where my career really took off after that, because I got to know almost everyone in the surety industry, because the loss was going to be potentially the largest in the history of our company. And at that time, one of the biggest losses ever. But it was a true success story in how it was handled, and you know, how the surety stepped in and finished the jobs. And Morrison Knutson went on to continue to do other things other than rail cars. And we sold off the rail business. And so after all of that, everyone sort of knew who I was and understood that I had a strong claim background, having handled that claim. And then from there, I continued to grow, you know, and focus on excellence. I became a risk manager for Zurich Surety and vice president. And then eventually I wound up in the international side. And then my boss came to me one day and said, "What you're doing for international, I want you to do for our entire surety division." And I just kept going from there. So I surrounded myself with really strong people. And, you know, no one gets there alone. So just working well with others and understanding this business and following the golden rule. Honestly, you know, you treat people like you want to be treated. And I think it still works. So that's my career ascension.
Well, thank you for sharing. It sounds like things like character, performance, excellence, and knowledge of your craft certainly played a key role in your success and making your matriculation through the various parts of this industry. So, again, thank you for sharing. You've been mentioning the word surety. One thing you said, surety stepped in to finish the job. So we in the construction area, some of us may or may not know the importance of surety bonds. They're very critical in our construction industry. But why does surety exist, and what do sureties really do?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I try to bring a different perspective to the surety industry, because a lot of people really don't know what it is. And honestly, sometimes my children have been like, "We don't know what mom does." But anyway, what sureties really do is that in America, we've got a law called the Miller Act. And the law requires that if you work on a federal project, you've got to oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, my phone is ringing. That's very bad. I'm sorry about that. I thought
oh,
I had
no,
it
that's
off.
Okay.
I'm going to turn it off. So I was talking about the Miller Act, but actually I'll start with the Bible. In the Bible, in Proverbs 11:15, it says, "He who is a surety for a stranger will surely smart." And what we've come to understand is that surety is really about underwriting contractors, underwriting, understanding who your contractor is. We call it the three C's that we look at. We're looking at their character, we're looking at their capacity, and we're looking at their credit, basically. And so when you look at those three things, you get to understand whether a contractor can do what they say they do can do, if they have the money to actually support their business as well as pay their subs and suppliers, and then finally, if they have the character, which means that they're going to behave in an ethical manner and that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. And honestly, when we start talking about surety, I think that people are sort of like frightened by that concept of surety. And what we really need to focus on is that the surety is basically vetting a contractor to say whether or not they can do all those things that they say they can do. And if they're capable of doing it, and people speak well of them, saying their quality is good and a real understanding, that's what you can do to build a business. You know, you're really building a strong, successful business. And so it's almost a stamp of approval when you have a surety. So if a surety actually looks at the three C's and they find that a contractor can do all those things that they say they do, then the surety puts their balance sheet behind that contractor. And if for some reason they should default on a project or run into trouble, it then will become the surety's responsibility to be certain that, one, contracts are performed according to their specifications, and two, that their subs and suppliers are paid. And the law that exists today, the Miller Act, requires a payment bond and a performance bond. The payment bond is for the subs and suppliers, those that work on the project. Especially in federal work or most state work, you cannot lien a public entity. So the bonding is the only recourse for someone who has been wronged, who worked on a project and didn't get paid. They have a direct right of action against the bond. And if the owner, or we call them the obligee, under the bond doesn't get a contract completed as they believe that they should, they pursue the performance bond. And so those are what those two bonds are for and what they do. And they're really about protecting taxpayer dollars and workers.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that. That did make it really clear and certainly serves to add some clarity to what sureties and what bonding is all about. And you mentioned something that was really key. You mentioned the three C's when you're analyzing a contractor for a bond: character, capacity, credit. Those things are really important, but I often hear that bonding still can be a hurdle for small minority and women-owned businesses. Do you agree that that's still a hurdle for these groups? And what advice would you have for someone who is struggling to obtain bonding in a certain situation?
I think, first of all, it's interesting. You know, often I run into people and they say, you know, bonding's a hurdle. And it always strikes me, once I was talking to someone and they said, bonding's a necessary evil. And I was like, whoa, like, what is that? Of course, that's not true. And I think that, you know, owning a business is a hurdle. Running a business is a hurdle. So if you're in that line of work where you're risking every day, construction is very risky business. Owning a company is very risky business. And I think that that in and of itself presents some issues. What we tend to find, especially with some of the smaller companies, is that we have got people who are great at their craft, people who know how to do what it is that they do. If they're a plumber, they're great at plumbing. If they're an electrical contractor, they're great at doing electrical work, but they don't know how to run the back office. And that's really where people run into trouble. And, you know, I have a story where my congressman actually was telling me that he had someone do some work for him, and the guy never billed him. If you're not billing your clients, you're not making money. And so, you know, we don't focus on some of the things that you need to do in order to handle that back office. And I think that that part of it is what the hurdle piece of this is. And you know, sureties are looking at whether you have a balance sheet and whether you have a CPA, who's doing your books. You know, sometimes we tend to go to the lady at church that does taxes. Can you take a look at my books for me, or can you do this? We need to understand that we can't possibly know everything, and none of us is a CPA and a lawyer and an engineer and a contractor. I mean, to have all of those skills, we have to surround ourselves with people who have expertise. And I think that in order to get to being bondable or understanding about bonding, you've got to be beyond the phase where you're saying, how do I get my books done? And, you know, how do I handle my taxes in this case? You've got to be able to show yourself an astute business person or that you've surrounded yourself with people who are astute.
Okay, great. So business acumen is really key, and developing yourself is important. Also, as you said, obtaining the appropriate resources you need in your business. Thank you for sharing that. What about the having a relationship with the surety? Is that important? Are there any benefits to that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I find, too, is I've asked some people, they're like, well, I know I can't be bonded. And I'm like, how do you know? Have you ever tried? And honestly, most people say, I haven't tried. I just know I won't be able to do it. So if you're defeated before you start, that's a problem, because we can't actually help you. What I recommend for people is really to get into the process. Sureties basically don't sell direct. We work through bond producers and agents. And so normally what needs to happen is that we have to connect you to an agent who then will take in all of your information. You know, so you have to fill out the paperwork. And that's usually the first test as to whether or not you can get a bond, is will you fill out your underwriting packet? And often we have people that won't give you the information. We can't help people who don't give us the information. What we can do, though, if you provide the information, we can take a look at your information, assess where you are, and then determine if there's a surety market that can support you. There are many sureties out here that write small. They particularly focus on small business. And there's even the SBA program that they have a bond guarantee program. So they support small businesses. It costs a little more to be in that program, but if that's the only way you can begin to get into the bonding, you know, I suggest that that's what you do. But we want to make sure that we're going through the process. And, you know, I think most people we're trying to go over the process, we're trying to go under the process, we're going around the process. It's going through the process that then you come out on the other side knowing what your issues are. So if credit is your issue, you can begin to fix that. We can work on things like your credit and get you to a point where you can then look to be bondable. But I don't say give up necessarily. But I will say this, not everybody should own their own business. Some people should work for somebody else because they're just not of the frame of mind to actually do all the things that they need to do. So, and what I found is that a lot of the smaller contractors who are successful have worked for contractors who were successful in the past. So they've learned what they need to do, and they don't go in kind of just with a truck and a shovel. They go in understanding they need to have capital, that they need to have a banking relationship, that they need to have a bonding relationship, so they're preparing themselves and building their business in a very measured way.
Great. Now, that's good information. We appreciate Joanne, for providing those tips and insights on just how we can be a successful small business. And again, knowing that bonding and sureties are very, very important, and that there are strategies for ensuring that you can accomplish your goals, even in that area, even if it looks like some things are challenging. But as you said, the key is to get the process rolling and begin to work on those things that need attention. We're going to come back in a minute to Joanne and have her provide us some additional information. But first, we're going to just take a short commercial break. And then we're also going to pause, and there might be others out there in our listening audience that already have some questions, and we want you to be able to pose those to Joanne as well. So, Rosa?
Thank you. We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, friends, or business associates and tell them that we are on the air right at this moment, or they can join us by the Internet by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC, or please phone in at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with our guest, Ms. Joanne Brooks. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and please like our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are being offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the Internet by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or our website at www.nabwic.org. Thank you, and we're back.
Okay, we are listening to Joanne Brooks, our guest. She's Vice President and Counsel for the Surety and Fidelity Association of America, and we are just getting a wealth of information about growing our small businesses and how we can be prepared and know what to do in order to obtain a surety. So I have a couple of other questions for Joanne, but I do want to ask our listening audience, if you're listening in, as has been said, if you have questions, you can indicate that, and we'll get your question. Quick question, Joanne. Where does one find an agent if they're looking to obtain a surety bond? And does it help that they're already certified as a DBE or some other type of certification?
Okay, so one of the things that we have right now going all over the country is a partnership with the US DOT, and we're doing bond education programs all over the country, and putting people in front of agents who we know have a heart for this business. And, you know, it really is kind of a heavy lift initially for an agent, because there's a lot of work. And agents don't get paid, actually, unless they're issuing bonds. So I want to be clear about this. Now, bonding is not an expensive venture for the contractor. They don't have to ever pay anything up front if they're dealing with, legitimate agents. This is exactly what they do. What we have in our industry, we have an association called the National Association of Surety Bond Producers, and that's a start. But also, I'm going to give my email address, and if someone wants to call me, I can give them some suggestions about agents that we have used. We let people select their own agents. You know, I can't say who's the best agent for you, but giving agents who we know have worked with us in our program and are really have a heart to help small minority and women-owned businesses. Now, with respect to whether having a DBE status is helps, you know, I always say that being certified does not make you qualified. And so there's, you know, being a DBE is just an opportunity. And whenever we're out talking to people, I'll ask contractors what they do. What I don't want them to answer is say that they're a general contractor, because generally when they're going to do work, they're going to do work as a subcontractor. So if you're going to talk to a prime, you need to say, this is exactly what I do, and I do well. I am bonded at this level. And by the way, I have these certifications. I can help you meet your goals. That's the way we have to approach primes if we want them to do work with us. but we have to show that we're qualified. Saying that you're bonded means something. And I, you know, talk to many, many primes, and that's what they say, that even if they choose not to request bonds, they will ask you, what's your level of bonding? Because it means something to them to hear what that is.
So bonding does trump certification.
It absolutely does. And it buttresses it, because what it really does is say that you've reached a certain level. If you're able to get a surety, somebody else to put their money forward, that's an empowerment message. And that's really what I want to talk about when I talk about surety, is I talk about empowerment and, you know, how we can use surety to grow our businesses. Because honestly, the number one reason why contractors fail, uncontrolled growth. They take on too much work, and they're not able to pay their subs and suppliers, and they're not able to perform the level that they should to complete their work. And so we start to see quality issues, you get safety issues, you know, all of these things come into play. So it really behooves us all to understand that growing our business, if we have a partner who's a surety, is very helpful. Because here's the deal, the sureties, number one, will look at your business and say no to you when it's not in your best interest to do something. And sometimes we save people from themselves. You know, sometimes you really have to help people, because, you know, most contractors are very optimistic. So yeah, sometimes we have to be realistic with them.
No, thank you. And Joanne, we only have a few more minutes left, but I do want to ask you a couple of quick questions, if I can. You mentioned earlier that one of your roles is putting prospective business owners in front of sureties that have a heart for the business.
Yes.
What do you say to girls or women who are seeking to establish a career in this industry or any other part of the construction industry? Any tips or information that you have that might be good for them to hear?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just believe in your dreams and put the work behind it to make it happen. But, you know, in the surety industry in particular, we are looking for women and minorities to participate at all levels. Our association gives out scholarships to college students and internships, paid internships. So we're trying to encourage women to participate in the surety industry. And I think it's a great career opportunity, because there are not that many minority women who participate on the surety side of this business. And if they do, they tend to be maybe on the claim side, or they're not on the underwriting side. And the underwriting side is where you deal face-to-face with the contractors.
All right, great. That is wonderful information. It's good to know that there's opportunity there. Are there any other resources that would be pertinent for our listening audience to know about? These could be other conferences, maybe some suggested books they might need to read. Any other resources that you think might be of benefit to our listening audience?
Oh, there's lots of things that would be beneficial. You know, I read American DBE magazine. I think that Shelton Russell does an amazing job with that magazine. So I would recommend that everybody go online and sign up to get the subscription for that. And I think the online subscription is free. The paper is like $19. So I would definitely say that's something that I would encourage. I've been reading some books lately. I read Building Atlanta by Herman Russell. I think that's an excellent book. It's a way to give some encouragement to people. And also I read The Man from Essence, Creating a Magazine for Black Women, and Edward Lewis is the author of that. And I think that there's some parallels in the construction business and what he had to do in journalism to get that magazine. But understanding the power of women permeates this.
That is great. And Joanne, I do hate to cut you off. Seems like our time just flies by so quickly when we're having fun. Give us your contact information again, and we got to have you back on the show again. This is so great, such a wealth of information. Give us your contact information again.
Okay, it's Joanne Brooks, is my name. My phone number is 202-778-3639, and my email is jbrooks@surety.org. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We've been listening to Joanne Brooks, and thank you, Joanne. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. And until next Wednesday, this is Blog Talk Radio.